Hey, it's Michael.
Hi, good morning, Michael. How are you?
I am super. Do you
Great.
have headphones on?
I do not.
It would help if you did, but that's okay. If you don't have access to them, it's not a problem.
My roommate's cat broke them, so I don't have any.
The
Sad
fact that you
day.
said it's okay. So the fact that you said your roommates, it probably means you're still in college, right?
Yes, I am.
I just wanted to make sure you're what year you were. I actually interviewed somebody who was. Are you a you're a junior or a senior?
I am a senior.
Yeah, that's
I
what I thought.
graduated in May.
You graduate in May, right? What are you majoring in?
Yes.
What are you majoring in?
Advertising.
And did we meet? Were you in Bangkok?
Yes, I was.
You we did, didn't we?
Yeah, I remember you.
Well, there were only, if I remember correctly, there were only like eight or nine of you, so I remember you as well. The only thing is, like right now on Skype, I'm looking at your picture and it's sideways. I guess that's just something you like to do. That's just the whimsical part of you that you like to sort of demonstrate by having your picture being
Yeah,
sideways.
I don't know. It didn't have a picture, and this is like the first one I found, and I was like, well, at least they can kind of tell who I am.
Not a problem. Don't worry, that's not the one I'm going to use as the faceplate for this episode, so don't worry about it.
Okay, great.
You must
Yes.
originally be from Texas as well, is that right?
I am. Yes, I
And were you
am.
just born and raised there? So it's not like your family moved there and you just fell in love with it. It's just you're just from there. You've been there your whole life, yeah?
For the most part, I was born in El Paso. I lived there most of my life. I did spend some time in Mexico, in middle school. I spent 2 years.
Okay.
And then for high school, I came back to El Paso area. And then I've been here since.
So remind me again, are your do your parents run their own business?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay, so I'm remembering you properly. I just want to make sure it's not necessary to say what that business is, but I remember. Okay, that's great.
Oh, okay. Wow, great memory.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there were only eight people there. It was what, last July, I
Yeah.
think, that we talked to each other.
It hasn't been too long. Less than a year. Yeah.
So let's back up a little bit. So you're at school, you're a sophomore, you're thinking, what am I going to do over the summer between my sophomore and my junior, no, between my junior year and my senior year. Sorry, you're a
Yeah,
junior, yeah?
junior, senior.
And then you say, okay, I'm going to do an internship and I'm going to do it in the furthest place possible away from home. Like, how did you decide? How did you find out about it? Just give me a little bit of
Well,
background.
yeah, so I knew that I needed to do an internship, and it was recommended that we do one between that summer going on to senior year. So one of my good friends that also went to this internship with me, she was like, oh, I'm going to do an internship. I think I'm doing it abroad. And I was like, well, that's crazy, abroad. That sounds great. You know, because I mean, we had gone abroad. I just went to Mexico City. So I didn't really think I was going to go abroad again. But then she mentioned it, and I was like, that sounds awesome. And then I remember there was a fair, like a study abroad fair, and I went, and we went to look for the internship booth, and they gave us a flyer, and it was Hong Kong. And then we turned it, and on the back it said there were seven locations. It was Hong Kong, Spain, Bangkok, Shanghai, et cetera. So then we were like, oh, this is awesome. And I really got into the idea. And then, I mean, I love going abroad, you know, so like, of course I was going to take the opportunity if it came. And I just decided that it would be a really good thing for me, professionally. And also because at that time in my life, I was going through a very, very hard time. So I just wanted to get away as soon as I could and as far as possible.
Yeah, I know what that feels like.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm ready for this.
Yeah, I mean, I like to say this, but just I think I probably said it that night too. But remember, I left the United States when I was 24, and I haven't lived back there since. So, and a certain part of
Yeah.
that is maybe just getting away and staying away. So, fair enough, right?
Yeah.
So, and what did your family think? I like to find out like what it's like that dynamic, right? Because as a student, there's still some connection at some level to your family, right? So did they think you were
Yeah.
insane? Like, did they prefer you went to Spain? I just don't remember the story.
Yeah, so I actually, it took me a while to let my family know because, so my family, when I went to Mexico, they thought that they were not against it. They just thought that I kind of was, they thought I was just kind of playing around and maybe not really taking my studies too serious, that I just wanted to go everywhere. So then I was scared to tell them, oh, well, now I'm going to Thailand, and they were going to be like, you're not taking this serious, you know? So then it was like actually, I think in April that I finally told them, like almost before leaving. And I said, hey, like, I'm sorry, like I haven't told you, but I'm going to Thailand this summer to do an internship.
Right.
And surprisingly, they took it very well, and they were like, oh, well, that's great. You should have told us earlier, but we're happy for you. So they were not really against it. And then I told them over the phone, and then when I actually met them, they were just they did think it was a little bit crazy and exotic, but I think they were mainly excited for me.
Were they scared at all? Like one of the other students that I talked to said that their parents were a little bit scared just because they just weren't familiar with what the environment was like. Were you scared either, or?
I was not really that scared. I think I was just a little bit maybe worried about the language barrier. That was my main thing that I was worried about. My mom was a little bit scared, not like super. She was just saying, oh, you know, like be street smart, watch out for your surroundings, don't be out too late, you know, just things like that.
Yeah, fair enough. That's regular parental stuff, yeah.
I don't remember being scared specifically. I don't. I think I was excited,
Did
if
you fly alone? You know what I mean? Like, did you have to take that whole trip by yourself? I presume that you transferred in Tokyo, maybe Seoul somewhere. I don't remember where you said.
For the most part, I traveled on my own. I did have a layover from Tokyo to Bangkok, and I met one of my friends there, like another intern. So we went together from Tokyo to Bangkok.
And were you one of the people that arrived really late at night, or did you arrive during the day? You did,
Yes.
okay.
Oh yeah, it was midnight, I believe. It's
Yeah,
super
so can you
late.
give me a little bit of your own perspective on what that was like, just getting to just a completely unknown place at midnight and just having to get through immigration and find a way back? Like, what do you remember about it?
Yeah, so I remember getting there, and that was actually scary because we get there and whoa, like first of all, no one speaks our language, no one looks like us. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like the outcast now. And I remember that I was trying to put a Snapchat, and I was taking like a picture of the airport, and this
Oh,
like
so this
people are
was
just like
you, huh?
coming at
This
me.
was you. You were the one who couldn't put the phone down. I got it.
Yeah, and people come at me like super fast, and they're telling me no, and I'm like, oh no, what's that? What's going on? And they're like super against like taking pictures, because I thought I was taking pictures of the officials, like the immigration people, and they're pointing, they're like, no cameras, no cameras. And
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I showed them the picture, I was like, oh sorry, like I'm deleting now. So that was scary, you know. And then we made it through the checkpoint, and it was just annoying because we couldn't really understand what each other, what, like, you know, their English was limited, and well, we didn't speak Thai, so
Right,
it
your
was just
time was
like,
limited, so.
and then we finally made it through, and it was just exciting to be there, but a little bit like frustrating at the same time because we were like so disoriented.
I'm
Yeah, that's
presuming,
what I remember.
yeah, I'm presuming you said you lived in Mexico City for 2 years, right? So I'm presuming when you were there, you learned how to speak Spanish or you spoke some Spanish before you got there. Being from El Paso, that would make a certain amount of sense, right? So Thailand was the first time you were in a country where you just didn't speak the local language at all, right? Because going from Texas to Mexico, it's a completely different country, different culture, the whole thing. But if you speak the language, it's easier, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to make it clear, I didn't live in Mexico City 2 years.
Ah,
I lived there 6 months,
sorry.
but I did live in another part of Mexico 2 years. You're fine.
My mistake. Will you forgive me?
Yes, I
Thank
will
you. Oh,
for now.
gosh, I feel better for now. Great.
I'm
Is that
kidding.
where we are already?
Maybe. But yes, you're correct. That is the first time I was in an environment where I cannot fluently communicate with anyone.
And I like this question too, like this whole concept of standing out, right? So if you're in Mexico and you're just walking down the street, nobody can tell that you're not Mexican per se, right? Because just by looking at you, nobody can tell. And in Texas, nobody has, nobody knows you're not from the United States either, right? But in Thailand, it's pretty obvious you're not Thai.
You know, that's true, but I had a lot of Thai people tell me that I look Thai.
Okay, I'm going back to your picture. Really?
They told me I look some type of Asian, and I was like, I don't see it. And I remember, like, I would get that not all the time, but often. And some people would come and start speaking to me in Thai because they thought I was Thai. And some other person told me, you're definitely half Chinese, half European. I'm like, no, I'm Hispanic. That was interesting.
That's so good. Yeah, that is interesting, though, right? Tell me why, though. Like, for the first time in your life, you stick out. It's weird, no?
It is. It is weird. I don't know. I guess it's a weird feeling just to not look like anyone else there, and people stare a lot, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, so I used to get this. Let me just share something with you, and then I'll tell you my perspective on this. And I'll be curious to know yours, too. Every Sunday when I first arrived, when I first lived in Tokyo, so back in 1990, my friend and I would go see a movie. Just a buddy of mine. We had nothing to do. It was just a quiet way to end our weekend. And without fail, we'd ride the elevator up to, like, the 7th floor. I don't remember the floor number, right? And we were the only non-Japanese people in the elevator. And it was weird because they would look at us. They would, you know, make sure that they paid closer attention to their pocketbooks and their wallets and stuff. You know, we were full-time employed at Morgan Stanley, so it wasn't like we were going to steal their wallet. But it's just weird what it's like when they look at somebody, and it's not a Japanese thing. It's just everybody just has this discomfort when something's different. And it taught me what it felt like to stand out just because of the way I looked. And I'm just wondering if you think about that or if you thought about it when you got home and then you just fit right back in again. Because there are other people there in Texas, in Delaware, everywhere in the United States that stick out just because of the way they look, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of no different than that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, I know that definitely going back when I arrived to LAX airport, I felt like instantly at home, you know, like everyone looked like me. Everyone was doing the same things I was doing, dressed as me. Now I was like, okay, this is back to normal, you know, that feeling.
Yeah, interesting. So what internship did you do when you were here? What kind of company did you work at?
I was at a PR agency.
Ah, were you at Midas?
I was, yes.
Okay, that's cool. So you worked with Karen and with Tony.
Yes, I work with them.
Interesting. Yeah, that they have I know where their offices are.
So
did you feel any sort of transition or any change while you were here, like from the first day maybe into the middle period where you're just getting situated or just getting acclimated, and then in the second half where maybe you were just more used to it and everything became more normal and more routine? Like, did you feel a sense of change at all?
Oh, definitely. Especially, I think, the first stage, you know, the first week maybe, I was still, you know, getting to know the city. So it was mainly pure excitement and exploring and all of these things. And then towards the middle, it got really hard. I hated everything.
What was the hard part, though? What was it that you didn't like?
My main thing, I mean, there's a list of several things, but the main one, I do not like Thai food. So that was really hard for me.
Ah, so the food. It's interesting, though, right? In other words, you just get used to eating a certain way. Food is culture, right?
Yeah, it is. And I cannot. That's the one thing I never got used to. I just never liked it.
Yeah, that's okay. Like, some people don't like French food. It is what it is, right?
Yeah, it is what it is. Very true. And it was a little frustrating that, although in my internship and with Jerome and the interns and you, like, I could speak English and it was fine. But for the most part, every day in the city, it was hard. Like, I couldn't communicate, you know, and if I, especially with food, since I was so picky about it.
Yeah.
If there was a certain ingredient I didn't want, there was no way I can tell them.
Right.
They would not understand. So I would just get frustrated and leave, you know?
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Look, I mean, I spent some time with, like I said, I lived in Japan for 20-something years, and there were just some people who just could not adapt to not being able to explain stuff, right? But again, it teaches you a little bit about adaptability, what it means to just figure stuff out, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
And how about the second half? So did you feel a little bit more comfortable in the second half? Just get used to it and figure out how to just get by?
Yeah, then it started getting better. And I did, before I left to Thailand, I bought a small, like a pocket translator, like a book. So I would pull it out, and if I was trying to say something, I would have them read it in Thai. And then it was really helpful to use the transportation system. Like with taxis, I could tell them, I learned a few words and I told them where to go. So it started getting better. Towards the end, I came to a point where I would be fine if I had stayed in Bangkok for a little bit longer, or I started like to build a life there, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't so bad after then.
Yeah, but I mean, so how does that translate though to the rest of your life? Because you're gonna have to do this as you get older, right? You're gonna have to, you'll move out of Texas, let's say, you'll move out of Austin, and you'll go to Dallas or Houston or Atlanta or wherever, and you're just gonna have to start from scratch. Now the language will be there, but you don't know what you're gonna encounter, right? Do you feel like that this experience has at least taught you how to adapt and to change and to understand that, like, the things you take for granted today aren't always going to be there in the format that they've always been there, if that makes sense.
Oh, 100%. And you know, now that you mentioned the whole taking for granted, I remember when I came back, I became also more humble in the sense that I appreciated more what I had, and it would make me mad when people would complain about things that don't matter, you know, because
Tell me, this
like
is
for
perfect,
example,
though. That's such a great, it's such a great insight. Tell me what you mean.
for example, people would complain about maybe like, oh, I don't know, maybe a makeup brand is not as good or something dumb like that. And
Wait, that's pretty
I would
dumb,
be
right?
thinking,
Really?
yeah, you know, it's just an example. Like honestly, it could be a thing like that, or their iPhone, like they want the new one or whatever. And I was just thinking, oh wow, I lived in a place where I literally like did not like the food, and it was so hard for me to get through every day. And
Right.
you're worried about these things, you know, and I couldn't get around without having to worry how like to speak to someone or just things like that, and just seeing how people live, you know. Not everyone has such a comfortable life as you, and like you're gonna sit here and complain about that. Like
Yeah, it's
it's
really
sad.
interesting when you. So, and I was talking to somebody else about this today in a different context, right? But understanding the struggle is a really important thing. Do you know what I mean? Like just not taking stuff for granted, whatever it is. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, material things. But it manifests itself in that way. And I think that that's really interesting. You hear that like you come home after 6 weeks and the first 3 weeks were a big struggle. The second 3 weeks, you kind of, like you said, you built a life, you figured it out. And if you'd stayed longer, it would have been even easier. Which also tells you that, like, just persisting, right?
Exactly. And that's one thing that Jerome and Jason would always tell us, 'cause we were all frustrated. And they were saying, just persist, and in the end, you're going to feel like a champion. And we were like, whatever. But then they're
They
right.
were right, though,
And
right?
yeah, and going back to your question about I'm about to, you know, end my college career and start something new. I'm not afraid. I'm actually excited, and it's going to be easy. I mean, if I was able to, you know, just get thrown into Thailand and not know anything and be fine, I'm going to be fine now too, you know.
That is just the greatest thing because that's what you want to get out of this type of experience, right?
Yes,
And it's kind of
exactly.
binary. And I use this term a lot, right? It's kind of binary. You can go in, you can get frustrated, and you can essentially give up, right? And just say, I cannot get through this. I'm not going to do it. I'm leaving, or I'm stopping. I give up. I'm turning off. Or you can just, like they said, you can persist and be a champion. And then when you're done, say, wait a second. In relative terms, from now on, I've like conquered that hill.
Yeah,
And now, if
it's
I
a great
see another
feeling.
hill, I'm fine.
Exactly. Because you kind of build what it takes in you or something, you know?
Yeah, but that's the whole, like that's the theme of every important novel you've ever read. It just is, though. It just is. I'm sorry. Like, if every novel you read in high school and every novel they make you read in like an English lit course, not every single one of them, it's all about, growth and development. And, you could write a book about I arrived and I knew nothing. And I couldn't speak the
Very true.
language and couldn't eat the food and I had to figure out. And it doesn't matter if, you're going up the Mississippi River and finding yourself, or if it's about the Vietnam War, if it's James Conrad, if it's Conrad. The Heart of Darkness, like you just, it's about that discovery of who you really are, and that's what you did. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was it's a good feeling for sure.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. So do you come home, right? You're done with the program. You feel a lot better. You know, the guys at Next Step walk you through. I like that phrase, like, persist and you'll be a champion. I just love it. That's the title of this episode, by the way. Persist and you'll be a
Okay,
champion. No, I love
I
it because
love
you
it.
said it and you said it. I love it.
Okay.
But you come home, everything feels a little bit easier, right? And
Yeah.
you kind of, in a way, do you look forward to the next challenge? Do you know what I mean? You're like, okay, bring it on, in a way.
Yeah, I would say. And the thing is that I did have a challenge as soon as I came, so I was ready for it. I came back because it was time to come back, but also I was taking summer classes and they were difficult, and I knew I was gonna have to put work for the rest of the summer, you know, so.
Ah, right.
And they were important classes for my career as well, so I knew it wasn't just any class, and that was kind of a challenge itself.
What, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, and I was gonna say, after that, I did feel like I was pretty much ready for whatever left thrown at me. Like, if I was able to survive that, I can take on anything, really.
Yeah, I
That was a
like it.
feeling.
I love it. I just love it. So, what do you want to do when you, what do you want to do when you graduate? Have you decided, or did you start look for jobs already? You must already. It's April almost.
It's sad, but I haven't.
No, it's not sad. It's just a question. There's no rush, right? Life is not about rushing around. It's about
It's
doing what you
not.
want.
I have an idea more or less, but I have not had the time to physically sit and do it for hours, you know, search for a company.
Right.
I would like to practice advertising at some company. I do like what I studied.
Right.
I do know that in the long run, I do want to be an entrepreneur. So I'm just that's what I'm more looking forward to.
I like it. Being an entrepreneur, self-determinant. You got to build stuff from scratch.
Yeah.
Conquer one little hill after another little hill, one step at a time every single day, right?
Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah, it's really great. So, what would you say to somebody at Austin, or even not at Austin, but some other student who said, you know what, I'm thinking about going on this program and I want to go as far away as possible. What do you think I should do?
You should definitely do it. It's going to be worth it. Like, it might be hard at the beginning, and you will want to, like, maybe quit and hate it, but just have to push through it, and it's going to teach you some of the best lessons that you didn't even know you could learn about yourself.
Yeah. And have you had a chance to speak to people about this already? In other words, the students ever come over to you and say, "Hey, I heard you went on this thing to Bangkok. That sounds really exciting." And if they did, that's what you'd say to them, yeah.
Yeah, a few people. The university hosted a program, I believe, last semester, and it was like a professional training for East Asia region,
Oh,
and I was
cool.
invited as a
Oh,
panelist
you did. So
because
you sat on the panel.
and I spoke about my internship in Thailand, and then later students who were interested came and spoke to me, so that's when I had the chance to talk about it
How
with
cool
them.
was that though? You were the expert.
Yeah, I was the only person there from Thailand. It was cool.
That's just amazing. Okay, look, I really want to thank you for taking the time and just talking. This has been really, really great. It's been great to catch up with you, if nothing else, but also just persist and you'll be a champion. I think I'll keep that with me for the rest of my life as well.
Thank you. It was really great for you all to reach out to me as well.
Oh, I'm so
It
glad you
was
did
nice.
this. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.